are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, January the 3rd, and Happy New Year to Pistons fans out there. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to run down the action from Thursday night's loss against the Los Angeles Clippers in Staples Center. We're also going to pass along my three takeaways from this one, including Tom Gore's comments at halftime to Rod Beard and other members of the assembled media. We're also going to look ahead to Saturday's game against the Golden State Warriors and Sunday against the LA Lakers, a back-to-back this weekend for the Pistons. I know you probably don't know what day of the week it is, but it is Friday today. As you listen, Saturday and Sunday, some games out in the Golden State of California. So give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But hey, another rough start to the season. I know we're probably going to war and all that too. But other than that, I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling better about this team's future now than I did before this game on Thursday, seeing Sekou out there. We'll talk about him plenty today. Also, Bruce Brown played well, especially in the first half. And the fourth quarter, all the young guys kind of put a little charge into it, got it down to about a 10-point game in the last few minutes. I know that that's meaningless. There was never a question in this one. It was never in any kind of doubt. But I like that stuff, especially in a rebuild. I'm not talking about just being competitive at times, but just the fact that teams aren't giving up, the teams are still trying. And I know that I kind of roll my eyes at that kind of stuff a lot of times, but I think in a rebuild situation, which the Pistons are clearly in at this point, I don't know if you're still trying to deny it and thinking that they should not sell at the deadline, what you could possibly be thinking at this point. But we're not going to be talking much about not selling here on the Locked On Pistons podcast over the next month. As the Pistons fall again, 126-112 to the LA Clippers. We know a lot of it is circumstances beyond their control with the injuries, some of them expected in the form of Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, others not so much expected, but the perils of the NBA season are certainly catching up with the Detroit Pistons in the health department. Luke Kennard, Kyrie Thomas, Markieff Morris all missed this one. Bruce Brown played through the flu, but got through it. Blake Griffin not able to play in his second game as a member of the Detroit Pistons at Staples Center against his former team, the LA Clippers. We remember, I've called them the Clippers now twice on this podcast. I think maybe Lakers is in my head, and I'm kind of splitting the difference here. But we remember Blake Griffin in the middle of January last year, right around my birthday, with a big game there at Staples as the Pistons got the win on, I believe, a Saturday late afternoon 44-point game from Blake in that one. But that was certainly not to be in this one, as the Pistons lose 126-112, falling to 12-23 on the season. That's right, 12 wins and 11 games under 500. We are almost at that sad juncture where you have just as many wins as you are under 500, which is not where you want to be as a team. The new low watermark of the season of 11 games under 500, it gets worse and worse for this pathetic team. At this point, the Pistons have now lost 8 of 9. In this last stretch, including three straight games and the three games of the homestand or the road trip so far, with three to go against good teams. The nightmare continues for the Pistons. No chance against good teams. They are 1-11 against good teams so far this season. The standings, as reasonable as it is to still think that they might have a chance to climb back into the eighth seed just because of how bad the teams are, even that is becoming more and more bleak as time goes on. Pistons still alone in 11th place in the Eastern Conference, but now 3.5 games behind Orlando. Though that might not be as bad as it sounds, however, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But two teams to jump over on the way to jumping Orlando if they have designs on doing that. Chicago and Charlotte tied one game ahead of the Detroit Pistons, and that is That's the good news. The bad news is, well, if, I guess whoever way you look at it, might be good news. The Pistons are only a game and a half ahead of second to last in the Eastern Conference, and that's the tie between the Juggernauts, New York Knicks, and Cleveland Cavaliers. Pistons have a couple chances to lose to the Cavs next week if you're into that kind of thing and possibly fall further in the Eastern Conference and NBA standings. That's right, the Pistons now alone in seventh place in the lottery standings. So the seventh highest chances of winning the lottery, 31.9% chance of getting a top four pick and 7.5% chance at getting the first overall pick in the draft if the season were to end today. But no, the season is not ending today. We are 35 games in, which means we are now six games away from the midpoint of this season, if you can believe that. A lot of basketball left to be played, and a lot of it's going to be played, apparently, by the Pistons rookie, because on Thursday, Sekou Doumbouya made his first start of the season, his first start of his career, recently turned 19 years old. 10 points and 11 rebounds for him in what I thought was a very strong game. We'll talk about him plenty in a little bit here. Bruce Brown led the charge scoring-wise, which is not always a good sign, never a good sign. 15 points, 6 assists, but some nice pick-and-roll penetration with Andre Drummond on the two-man game, especially in the second quarter. 14 points apiece for Tony Snell, Svi Mykhailiuk, who both those guys started, Christian Wood and Derrick Rose off the bench, 11 points for Langston Galloway off the bench, 10 apiece for the aforementioned Sekou Doumbouya, and Thon Maker and Andre Drummond also had 10 points apiece. That's right, 9 players for the Pistons were in double-digit scoring. That's a crazy amount, especially when you get blown out on the road and you don't have much of a chance of winning. 7 of 33 from three-point land for the Pistons, just, you know, no chance to win this one. It was really a pattern of a lot of games that we've seen lately, pleasantly surprised with how well the first quarter went. Still not feeling too bad about how the second quarter went, despite being down at halftime, and then just getting bum-rushed out of the arena in the third quarter before falling down big. But this time, at least, the Pistons had a little fight in the last 5 or 6 minutes. But the Clippers pulled away in that third quarter, which has been the bugaboo for the Pistons lately. Coaching staff's got to figure that out. Team's got to figure that out. 37-16 was the margin in the third quarter. Clippers were sleepwalking throughout much of this one. 23 points for Montrezl Harrell, 22 for Lou Williams, both those guys coming off the bench, but certainly very good players, and they're just coming off the bench just because that's just how it works for that team. Nothing to do with them being not good enough to be starter-level players. But Paul George left the game with a hamstring injury. He didn't look right to me from the start, to be honest. But Kawhi Leonard, a very efficient, businesslike, 18-6-5. In the win, though I thought Sekou did a pretty nice job on him. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the Pistons, like we said, Saturday's game is 8:30 Eastern time at Golden State, a winnable game there. And then Sunday, 10 o'clock Eastern, back at Staples against the Lakers. That might be a load management night on the second half of back-to-back. We'll see how Dwayne Casey shuffles the lineups here. But the road trip concludes on Tuesday at Cleveland, wrapping up the six-game roadie that the Pistons are 0-3 in so far. And that game is the beginning of a 12-game stretch where the Pistons might win some games here throughout most of the month of January. But next, I'm going to give you my three takeaways from the loss of the Clippers and also what Tom Gore has said at halftime. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to look ahead to this weekend, a double dip against the Warriors and the Lakers in California. But a couple of notes to pass along. The All-Star Game voting totals, the first update was released by the league on Thursday. Don't fear, voting continues through January 20th. You got some time to get all that in, and you're only voting on the 5 starters, so this is not really a huge deal. And of course, all the uproar over the dumb fan voting totals that are out there so far, everyone's going crazy about Alex Caruso and Dwight Howard and Taco Fall and guys that are sideshows in some cases, but certainly not players that deserve to start in the All-Star game. From a Pistons perspective, Andre Drummond is 9th in the voting for front court, trying to get in one of those top 3 spots in the Eastern Conference. And Derrick Rose is 4th in the Eastern Conference backcourt, trailing, I believe, Trae Young, Kemba Walker, and Kyrie Irving. So certainly not guys that he's better than, but not guys that are such no-brainers that they'll get carried into the voting competition. With the game in Chicago, I actually kind of could feel like maybe if the Chicago fans get behind it a little bit, obviously wanting Derrick Rose to come home and play in that game, there could be a little bit of a groundswell. I wouldn't be shocked if something weird happens and Derrick Rose ends up in the All-Star game if the fans want to see it that way. The fan vote counts only for 50%, so that's going to be something he'll have to overcome, because the media is going to vote for 25% of it, and the player vote will be 25% of it. Now, Derrick Rose, well-revered around the league, well-respected by a lot of the players around the league, could actually get some of that player vote, but obviously the media probably won't be friendly to him, so he's got to get a little bit of a distance between him and some of those other players. But yeah, we'll see if Chicago and some other folks around the country that we know about the Derrick Rose stands, if the word gets passed along online that maybe this could be something that that could happen, that Derrick Rose could be an all-star, and I'm all for it, going back to Chicago and showcasing his ability, and the fact that he's an all-star before the trade deadline would be something that would be nice for the Pistons as well. So we'll see how that'll all shake out. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Luka Doncic are the top two vote-getters. As you remember, there will be five players picked from the East and five players picked from the West, but they'll be pooled together in addition to all the reserves picked from the East and all the reserves picked from the West. So you can still get in just based on being a Western Conference or an Eastern Conference player, but then they're going to be pooled all together and drafted by the two highest vote-getters, which, like I said, presumably going to be two of Giannis, Doncic, and LeBron James is kind of the dark horse in this three-person race for those two spots. So we'll be updating you on that as it goes along in the month of January. But Jonathan Isaac, some bad news for the Orlando Magic and good news for the hopes of the Pistons to make the playoffs, because the eighth seed Orlando Magic could be missing what I think is basically their most impactful player. Maybe not their best player, as Vucevic is a tough one for them. But Jonathan Isaac with a severe sprain in his left knee, going to miss at least 2 months. And from what I'm hearing, kind of the early indications are he might be out for the season. It's a scary injury for him. Jonathan Isaac really has made strides this year in his third season as a defensive player. Certainly a lot of polish to go forward for his offensive game, but a guy who's certainly impactful and is an all-defensive player type of prospect, and he even could have been one of those types of guys this year, kind of in that Rudy Gobert mold, although not a shot blocker as much, but more of an active disruptor for defenses, a player that I've been very impressed with as his development has continued. And really, one of the only NBA players, because I've been around athletes around a lot to interview them and whatnot, but I remember seeing Jonathan Isaac as a rookie. I don't think he was even playing then. He was hurt so much as a rookie, but covered a game against the Bulls a couple years back. Saw Jonathan Isaac in the locker room, and just standing next to that guy was like, wow, this guy is huge, and I could see what the potential is for them. So some good news for the Brooklyn Nets as opposed to Orlando. They're getting Caris LeVert, the former Michigan player. He's supposed to return to the lineup on Saturday against the Raptors. He's had thumb surgery and missed some time for them. So the seventh seed currently in the Eastern Conference is getting aided a little bit, while the eighth seed in the East is getting hurt by the injuries. So obviously the big news of the weekend around the league, something we're not going to talk too much on today, but David Stern, the former NBA commissioner, died on New Year's Day. He suffered a brain hemorrhage in mid-December and has been in critical condition, and hadn't really received too much word recently on him until the sad news passed along by the league about his passing during the Michigan football game, by the way, or maybe it was a little bit after. But David Stern was an expert marketer of the league, some progressive policies that pushed the league forward. Obviously, the main legacy of him is building the league's popularity around the players. It kind of started with the Magic Bird era in terms of things turning around for the good after a tough era in the 70s and early 80s with a lot of the drug usage and maybe the players not being super accommodating to becoming global icons. I think that the Magic and Bird, and then of course followed and made even more of a global icon, was Michael Jordan. Those guys were businessmen before they were players in some respects. And obviously David Stern's push for that kind of thing was a big issue there and a big reason and catalyst for that as well. The legacy for David Stern is overwhelmingly positive. Of course, being a commissioner for so long, there's going to be a little bit of negativity in there. Coincidentally, the malice in the palace was kind of a tough night for him. Led to some stringent rules. Obviously, the night in and of itself was a black eye for the league, but there were some reactions to that were a little bit more harsh in terms of leaving the bench for fights and things like that. The dress code, that stuff didn't really go over very well as well during his time. But pushing for a big international focus, the Dream Team was under his watch as well. Growing the game globally we see all these NBA stars and evidenced by Luka Doncic and Giannis Antetokounmpo's popularity, guys obviously born over in Europe and raised over in Europe that watched NBA games, however they were able to do that, and followed the game as young players and become icons themselves. And, of course, maybe the biggest legacy for David Stern is when he forced Michael Jordan to retire when his gambling was out of control and made him pretend to play minor league baseball for a season and a half. So some big memories, and rest in peace to David Stern. A lot of people out there, and of course he's a big icon in the game, but was a little bit surprised, not just by the people, the writers who covered the league. I mean, of course they're going to have a couple of David Stern stories and interactions, but just people my age that are fans on Twitter and stuff. It was just like, it was like acting like a big time player had died or something like that. I was a little bit taken aback. I guess it's kind of the new thing, is everyone's got to have an opinion on someone who died, and obviously it's mostly almost universally respectful, and it's a good thing. But it was just kind of it took me back a little bit. I didn't realize that so many people had such strong opinions about David Stern. But certainly he's a notable player in the grand scheme of things for the NBA world. And rest in peace to him from the Locked On Pistons podcast. And yeah, thanks for all you did, David, and Godspeed. So second takeaway from the weekend was Sekou Doumbouya with the big game, get the start on Thursday night in L.A. Not only that, but matched up against Kawhi Leonard from the very beginning. I was so confused, surprised, whatever word you want to use, not happy about it, really, in terms of what I was feeling about this going into the game after seeing Dwayne Casey putting Sekou in for garbage time at best throughout most of the season this year. I know he'd been playing really well in Grand Rapids Drive, and you guys have been clamoring for him for a while now, and I just said, you just got to kind of trust in Dwayne Casey, and whatever he thinks is best is going to be what's going to be. And, you know, you figured you'd slide him into some non-garbage minutes at some point, some second quarter cameos, maybe even third or fourth quarter if it's a close game at some point. But no, throw him right into the fire on the road at Staples Center against maybe the best player alive in Kawhi Leonard. I was thinking, man, this might be the day that Dwayne Casey loses me as far as being one of his biggest supporters and someone who's kind of a Dwayne Casey defender. If this doesn't go well and Sekou gets embarrassed and kind of throws him into a little bit of a tailspin, this could be something that would be a dangerous thing for this team. So a big risk, I would say, by Dwayne Casey to put him out there. He must have had some good practices and shown him some good things behind closed doors. And you can see the rebounding and defense that he had during the game, which is something that obviously, like I said, probably was shown behind closed doors, the progression and where he needs to be defensively, in addition to the effort given needed to rebound and play defense against such a strong and tough player in Kawhi Leonard. And he really showed that. So, you know, hats off to Sekou Doumbouya for the game he played, for the effort he showed, not being afraid, had 27 minutes in the books, 10 points, 11 rebounds, 4 of those rebounds coming on the offensive end as well, 4 for 11 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3, and 5 fouls and a steal, a plus 1 on a game of the Pistons fall by a big score. So he was impactful. We know that single game plus minuses aren't the be-all, end-all by any means, but certainly a good indication that Sekou belonged out there and pulled his weight on the court. Now, knocked down a 3 or 2, as we know he can, and hopefully that develops consistently at the NBA level. But, man, that could have been a really nice game if he knocked down a jumper or two, stayed out of a little bit of that early foul trouble that he got in the first quarter. Kawhi Leonard's going to do that to you. But maybe Sekou can learn to give up. I think he fouled Montrezl Harrell on a dunk attempt that, you know, he wasn't going to be blocking Montrezl Harrell's shot. So maybe that's one of them he kind of pull up on, let him have the easy layup there and live to fight another day as opposed to getting your third foul in the first quarter. Also thought it was interesting that Dwayne Casey not only started him, but stayed with him. He was the last starter that was still on the floor. So kind of test the conditioning a little bit. He looks like 19 years old. Looks like he was getting a little tired at the end of his stretches being out there. You can imagine that the nerves and the emotions kind of make you even a little bit more tired than you normally would be just because of what's going on in your head in those situations. But hey, great showing from Sekou. I want to see more. And we'll see what his role is going forward with the season. It also kind of spoke to me of a big shift in this organization. 2020, first game of the year, first game of the decade. And to me, I think it was an indication that this team is ready for the future. And I think that my first biggest takeaway from this game is Tom Gores speaking at halftime. And yeah, he didn't come out and say we're trading Derrick Rose. We're going to try to shop Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. But he said things that were a little bit contrary to the – or a little bit different tone than he said in the past. Quote from Rod Beard on Twitter. We have to look at everything because we're not winning. So when you're not winning, to me, you have to assess everything. I think anybody would do that. And probably in the next month or so, you know, we're going to get together as an organization and just discuss things. And they said they're not going to shut down Blake Griffin. Said that if Blake could play, he'd be playing. About Andre Drummond's player option decision coming up this summer, Andre is going to have to make his choice. Andre is a great player, so we'll just see. All these things are unknown, and like you said, it's kind of difficult to filter through all this injury bad luck. So a little bit different of a tone than maybe Malik Rose had on the broadcast the other day against San Antonio when he said, you know, that we can't really evaluate things because of the injuries. Gores goes on to say, the bottom line is our record is our record. And regardless of injuries, we've got to figure out how to win. So obviously that's not happening right now. I think even the, some of you guys that are the hold steady crew that don't want to tear this thing down hardly at all, I think you even know that this season's a little bit of a wash. Expiring guy, not a little bit, a lot bit of a wash. Expiring guys like Langston Galloway and to a lesser extent guys that are under contract in some form for next year being Derrick Rose and Markieff Morris that, you know, maybe we just shop some of these veterans, let the young guys play. And if the young guys playing means you lose a little bit more in the spring than you might otherwise, that's probably a good thing in the long term. This isn't a great draft. I don't think you should be going crazy about the tanking, but if there's a game or two here and there that might help you move up a spot and get you an Anthony Edwards shot or a shot at the lottery at a LaMelo Ball type. I haven't done a lot of draft studying quite yet, but obviously there's some headliners up there. James Wiseman is another one, who are guys that could be difference makers. I don't think no one's talking about Zion Williamson or Ja Morant or Anthony Davis or some of those generational type of players. And if the Pistons are lucky enough to get a top four pick, I don't know if it's going to be a franchise altering talent, but certainly someone who could be a key piece going forward, stacked on to the likes of Sekou Doumbouya and Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown and whoever else you think could be part of this future, Svi Mykhailiuk, Christian Wood, whoever else. But man, kind of an underwhelming core. I listened to one of the podcasts where they talked about Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue talked about the top 15, you know, players 23 and under in the league. And of course, none of the Pistons were mentioned in the top 10 or even in the 15 or players to watch, but a little bit dispiriting when you get down and down on the list and even more and more. And some players that you might consider as somewhat to be peers of Luke Kennard are mentioned, and guys that, you know, Sekou, who obviously is a little bit of an unknown, but no even mention for those guys. So the blue chip talent needs to be addressed. I mean, this is a decent core of usable pieces going forward, but you need not just guys to circumvent that core, but you need or season that core. You need guys to become major parts of that core, to be the Pistons' best player in 3-4 years, and not just hope that Luke Kennard grows into something he probably won't grow into, and that Sekou Doumbouya has got to be a must-have all-star type of talent, because that's a lot to rely on, and that's a lot to hope for. But speaking of a lot to hope for, up next we're going to talk about the Warriors and the Lakers, this weekend's opponents. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, we went a little bit long on the three takeaways, so let's kind of blow through this weekend's preview. The Pistons back in action against the Golden State Warriors on Saturday night. That's an 8:30 start. That's a bad team in Golden State right now. And a chance for the Pistons to boost their record. It's 5-10 against bad teams right now. And the Warriors lost to Minnesota in Minnesota on Thursday night. So really kind of a rest advantage for the Pistons, given the longer travel that the Warriors will have as opposed to the Pistons. Will just have to fly upstate a little bit there to the Bay Area. Draymond Green is back and playing, but being asked to play that scoring role a little bit and not doing it very well. I guess he's still not scoring, but probably needs to step up and score if this team's going to have any success. But that's just not his game. So really kind of a not a great time for the Draymond Green legacy, given that, you know, he's just kind of an outstanding role player, and that's not great for maybe a little bit of that legacy talk. Glenn Robinson III, old friend there, playing well lately at times for the Warriors. D'Angelo Russell is out. Kevon Looney's out. Willie Cauley-Stein is out. Of course, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are out. So the Warriors, they don't want to hear about your Pistons injury complaints. Another note, Jordan Poole is in the G League right now on assignment. So the Pistons likely won't get their first look at the Michigan rookie, a surprise first-round draft pick by the Warriors. But certainly Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, and company are being put to the test this year. But, man, I think it's a nice little gap year for them. I think they're going to get a really high draft pick. I think guys are going to get healthy, and this team will be a juggernaut just once again next year in a West that, who knows, you know, how well that the Anthony Davis and LeBron James combo will hold up. We know about the injury issues with the Clippers as well. And certainly not on the horizon any great teams out there. Utah and Denver are always a factor. Who knows what's going to happen with the Houston Rockets. But real chance for the Golden State Warriors to be right back in the mix next year, get everyone healthy, add a piece or two, and see what happens. 9-27 this year, though, not great. Of course, the losing helps out them as well. So a lot of these games coming up for the Pistons where it's two teams that could probably be better off losing, but that's certainly not the case for the LA Lakers. Sunday's opponent, 10 o'clock game back at Staples Center on Sunday. A chance for the Pistons to crack that horrible 1-11 record against good teams so far this year and the horrible 1-5 record for the Pistons on the second half of their own back-to-backs. Not only that, but 0-5 when they are on the second half of back-to-back and the opponents are not. Their only win is when both teams were on a back-to-back in a home game against Brooklyn earlier this year. So Lakers play against the Pelicans tonight. That's going to be Anthony Davis against his old team, so a little bit of an emotional game tonight. No DeMarcus Cousins for the Lakers in that one, of course. But LeBron James is healthy and playing these days. A little bit of a groin scare on Christmas Day, but he's playing. Alex Caruso, point guard off the bench that's balding, he's questionable for this one. Anthony Davis probable for tonight's game against the Pelicans with the shoulder injury. But we'll see. You know, obviously the Pistons are a game at home on the schedule. The teams like the Lakers might say, hey, we can skip some of the good players, take a night off, and still beat these sorry scrubs. But we'll see how teams approach that with Frank Vogel and with Steve Kerr this weekend. The Pistons have 7 games left on a second game of a back-to-back, and they have 7 games left where the opponents are going to be on the second game of a back-to-back. So evening out a little bit as time goes on, and the season drudgery continues. And we'll be here with you all the way through it on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Enjoy Pistons basketball this weekend or getting away from Pistons basketball this weekend. We'll have full recap on Monday and sort out as the trade deadline approaches and the Pistons face a gigantic 2020 calendar year as we go forward. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone.